have spent a lot of time and energy moving in my life. You wouldn't have thought so. I grew up on a farm, and that's a fairly stationary lifestyle, but I made up for it later on. Went to college, university, and of course did what everyone does. Well, it was nice there, but I needed to move back home to make sure I wasn't missing those home-cooked meals for a bit. But then I moved again and again and again from apartment to apartment, and then out west, and eventually I married and moved into and joined a home that was already complete. But then we decided to downsize hugely because we had to, because we were packing up and moving to New Zealand, so you get rid of a lot of stuff when it has to fit into a container. And then I became single again, and I moved again, found my own home, and chose what to take and to establish myself. And then I repeated the process. I moved back across the world to out west, settled there, got everything established, got all the things I needed, and then moved back to Ottawa. Just when you think you've got it down, changes. With all that downsizing and packing and moving, you'll learn a few things. One of them is what kind of storage containers to use when you're packing. You know those opaque colored ones, the blues and the greens and the reds with the lids that you can't see into? They're great. They're nice and big. You can hold lots of stuff. But there's a problem with them. When I was with my family, we had all of our camping gear for the four of us in those cartons, and we would write on the lid what was supposed to go in them. Now, with two adults and two teenagers, you can imagine that it inevitably got mixed up. So the axe would end up with the cooking gear, the candles would be with the canned goods, and heaven only knows where the sleeping bags might be. The trick was, I learned after all those moves, clear plastic storage containers. They don't look as nice on the shelf because you can see your junk through them. However, they're very useful because you know what's in there. Boxes and storage containers are very useful in our lives. They help us organize, they help us store things securely. They help us keep neat and tidy, at least from the outside. They help us clear the clutter from our spaces and hide it away elsewhere so we can navigate with ease. They simplify things. But when we use boxes in our relationships, it's not so helpful, nor so useful. We don't mean to categorize and store people in confined ways, but we do it anyway. And today's gospel is a prime example. It's a story about a family trying to get out of the boxes that they have either put themselves into or that they've put the other members of the family into. Take, for example, the younger brother. Us younger children, always spoiled by mom and dad, get away with things that our older siblings do not. You know, get to use the car more, all those things, get our inheritances given to us. The younger son makes a bold request, and then he acts irresponsibly. Imagine someone doing that. I can't imagine it. He doesn't really know anything. He's a failure, a wastrel, a scoundrel. He's a Jew who is left caring for pigs. It doesn't get any lower than that. That's his box. That's where he is put by his family, and that's what he believes about himself. Then there's the father. He is aware of both of his son's characters, and he loves both of them, but in different ways. You know how you're supposed to love your kids equally, and none of us do. We know that. There's one that just might be a little more close to us. It's what we don't love the other one, but it's not the same relationship. Well, this father takes a risk on his younger son, and he hopes that it's all going to go just fine. He's just going to go and figure it out, and it'll be okay. But I'm sure he was plagued by all those parental doubts. Did I do the right thing? Should I have been more strict? And there he is, trapped in a box, where one son thinks he's great, another son thinks he's not, and he's not sure what he has done. Then there's the older brother. I suspect there are a few of you in the crowd. Always has done what is expected of him. Always. He's responsible, long-suffering, and dedicated. But he has never felt that he's been rewarded for all of his effort, and he's been taken for granted. No banquets for his successes, no merrymaking when the harvest is bountiful, just day after day obedience and competence. And he is stuck there, feeling taken for granted and assuming there is nothing good in his life. Now, perhaps you recognize yourself or someone you know or love in one of these boxes. It's hard not to read this parable of the prodigal son and immediately figure out where you fit, or perhaps somebody else. Perhaps you recognize some fellow parishioners in these boxes. Recently, I've heard at least these three. Well, that person is new. What could they possibly know about how things are done around here? They don't want to get involved. They just hope it'll go all right, and when the hard times come, they will either leave or melt into the woodwork. Mm-hmm. Poor them. They've slaved for years, and no one has really noticed them until they stopped doing what they had done. None of this is meant in nastiness or bad faith. It's just what we do. We put people in boxes. Because it's actually much more comfortable that way. It's settling. It makes us feel secure so that we know where we stand and we've got where you stand figured out. And let's be honest, some people are comfortable in the box of failure and unhappiness, and some people are happy to leave them there. And some people are happy in the box of seething resentment at being ignored or taken for granted, and some people are happy to leave them there. But today's gospel isn't about staying in your boxes. It's about breaking out of all of them. The boxes that others put us into and the ones that we've selected ourselves. The younger son is the first to change his life. He jumps out of the box of irresponsibility and failure to take a risk on his father's love and the possibility of restoration. He says, when I came to myself, when he finally realized he wasn't all those things, or he didn't have to be, he could be what he chose. He took a risk. The father leaps out of the box of hurt and disappointment to take on the risk of the genuineness of his son's repentance and the possibility that his adversity has planted a seed of maturity. Then there's the older brother. The older brother, will he leave the box of sulking superiority and offended pride to take a risk on both his father's love and his brother's repentance? Or will he stay there? And we don't know the answer to that question. That's where the story leaves us. And we can all relate to that. I am one of those people who always, mostly for the first thing, sees the good in people. I always want to see what's great about people, and that's a great gift and a great failing sometimes, because you get really disappointed when it doesn't work out. And I remember when I first came back to Ottawa and I met a colleague that I had not met before, and we were going to be working on some stuff together, and I really did not like him. This is unusual. I like most people when I meet them. But he just seemed a little too condescending for my liking. And I did not think that I could spend any time besides the absolute time that happened in the meeting, and then I was gone, not to have a relationship with this person. That's hard for me, because I really like people, and I like to spend time with them. And when I find someone I really don't want to spend any time with, it's tough. It's like being the older brother, and it's not comfortable. Well, of course, eventually something happened, didn't it? And it wasn't me that did it. One day, something by chance, this person said something that made me see a whole other side of them. And I went, oh, I missed that. I thought I had you all figured out in this little box. And I was wrong. Well, I was probably right, but I was also wrong. And that person probably saw a little bit something different in me when all of a sudden I kind of opened up and went, oh, okay, I get it. Now, we're still not best friends, and that's okay. But I have respect for this person more than I did before, and now we can work together with ease. What a gift. So will we let others out of the boxes into which we've placed them? Because we do it. But maybe even more importantly, will we leave our own boxes, the ones that we've decided about ourselves, to enter into the banquet of the kingdom of God? If we don't accept that challenge, we have everything to lose. Because we'll be continue to be divided, confounded, and blinded. We really need to see others for who they really are. We need to see ourselves with clarity. Because only then, that which is stored deep inside, in those opaque boxes within each one of us, only then will it be transparent. Only then will we really be a gift to each other. Only then will our community thrive and grow as we risk really seeing each other, not just assuming that what we think about someone is the case. Only when we put all that aside, we jump out of the boxes, we take a risk to be ourselves and a risk to listen to others, will we be surprised. Not just individually, but as a community. Only then will our life together be renewed and refreshed and broken open. And all that trust that gets lost when we put each other in boxes can be found again and celebrated and lived out of once again. Amen.